It's Taskmaster podcast time. Of course, you know that already. It's episode 7 of the Taskmaster podcast. You know exactly what this is. Of course you do. You're not just dropping into this for the first time now, are you? Surely. It's Ed Gamble. I'm your host, and I'm also increasingly drawing closer to the point where I'm no longer the Taskmaster champion. It's a horrible feeling, but I am loving this series so much. I'm very much looking forward to seeing who is going to be crowned the new champion. But let's not will the end of the series, because this was episode 7 of Taskmaster series 10. I say this was episode 7. This is not it now. That has already been on. Taskmaster is on Thursdays, 9 p.m, channel 4. I say it every week. There must be some people who've done it by accident. Please don't listen to this if you've not seen the episode. Pause this now. I'll give you a second. Right, they've gone. Can't believe there's people out there who would listen to this and not watch the main show. They can't exist. So go and watch the main show, then listen to this, because we will be picking apart. There will be spoiler warnings. We'll be picking apart, dissecting, discussing, chatting about episode 7, series 10, Taskmaster. Very special guest this week, the wonderful Rose Matafeo, my not enemy, friend. Yes, friend from series 9 of Taskmaster, where we were both competitors in that. Very good friend of mine, but definitely butted heads on more than one occasion. Both very competitive people. I'm sure that will come up during the episode. If you have little kids and you want to watch Taskmaster and you're a little bit worried about swears and seeing bums or around the front, I can assure you there's none of that, but if you're worried about the swear bits, do watch the show on E4 Sundays at 6, where there is a family-friendly version. Also, if you want to buy some presents, taskmasterstore.com. Or if you want some more content, youtube.com/taskmaster. That is all my official admin done. Let's get into it. Episode 7, Series 10, Taskmaster. Let's chat about it with the wonderful Rose Matafeo. See you on the other side. Rose Matafeo, welcome to the Taskmaster podcast.
Hello. Hi. That was an introduction. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I was considering saying your name with more of a flourish, like Greg did on every episode of Series 9 of Taskmaster.
He did.
Rose Matafeo. Yeah.
He really enjoyed it. He took his time.
He
made a meal
it.
Of it. He did love it. No, it's a real privilege to be here. I heard that you've had Nish on the podcast, right? I got tweeted saying that he had a bit of chat about how competitive we are, which is,
well,
it's stupid.
It's true. Fair, would you say? I mean, when it was established that me and you were going to be on the same series, Nish and my girlfriend were both absolutely devastated because they knew that it would bring out the worst in both of us.
it was going to potentially break up a friendship, I think.
Yeah.
But thankfully it didn't. But no, they were really scared. There was a lot of chat. There was a lot of chat on the text threads about how awful this is going to be and how insufferable we would be. The thing is that Nish is such a... Would you say he's not a competitive person?
When he knows he's not good at something, he'll be the opposite of competitive. He'll deliberately be worse and just screech laughing every time he messes something up.
He'll be a chaos element.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
Yeah, that's true. We did invite him into the fold, the escape room fold, for a brief time.
That
and he
is
was
a
actually
mistake.
Not bad there. Yeah.
No, because he's the chaos element. He also, when we've played board games with Nish before as well, he won't take it seriously enough.
It's quite frustrating, but he's an entertainment value. He's got entertainment value, and that's what we'll say about Nish Kumar.
Yeah, exactly. But I can't imagine anything worse than being on a team in Taskmaster with Nish. I think that would be my worst nightmare.
Oh my gosh, I'd kill him. I'd kill him. I'd actually kill him. It'd be the first example of like a proper crime on Taskmaster. It would be awful. They'd be like, well, we can't edit around it because it happened. Like, we know it happened. May as well show it. We'll have to censor it quite a lot. But we'll have to do it because we have to explain why he isn't in the live shows. So, yeah.
Yeah, they'd have to open with that task, right? on that series, yeah, they'd have to be, welcome, here's your competitors, and there'd be an empty chair, and you'd have to open with a team task where you killed Nish Kumar and then just carry on with the rest of the series.
I'm zooming from prison.
Yeah.
Or just I'm in a little cage. But they still want me in the just a little cage. Yeah, yeah. They've agreed to let just me come in a little cage, still in prison, sort of a portable prison, because they want the banter.
Yeah.
And yeah, or just I send a lawyer to represent me in live shows.
Perfect. We were competitive, I'd say, but when would you say did we come closest to breaking up the friendship?
I think, maybe a couple times. So first time I can remember is when I and the team task, when the thing fell off my head. I've never seen someone look so disappointed in me. Disappointed, angry, and like trying to hold it together because the camera's on us. And you can't actually just go, what the fuck was that? But the thing is that when you looked at me with utter disdain in that moment, what kind of gets us through that is that I understand, because I would be doing the exact same.
Totally.
So I think when two people are intensely competitive, they also respect the behavior of that other person when someone else fails them. So then, but I think true competition, I think... every show, like, it's a mini competition to win that episode. And as the show goes on, and you know, you tally up each episode that you're winning, because we won individually, like we won quite a few episodes by ourselves, right? And I think it's just before the live task, that's when it's like, have a good one out there. Like,
The fun stops immediately.
The fun completely stops. Because, like, and I think maybe you and I really go into our own heads, like, before the live task, being like, oh, this is where I can either redeem myself, or this is where I have to defend my position. And we would take it so seriously. and so I think that's when the friendships could have... I think if either of us had a complete sense of humour failure in those moments...
Can I tell you the moment that I think that we genuinely nearly came to blows, because I think it was you who was the angry one, but I was enjoying you being angry a lot. It was whenever, broadly, the situation was whenever you were so proud of something you'd done and you couldn't wait for it to be shown on the show. And then when it didn't necessarily go down as well as you're expecting, which I think everyone feels, but it was the serenades. When we had to do the self-serenades and you were so proud of what you'd done, I think we got the same amount of points. Or I did better than you, but either way, you were... I think we got the same, because I was like, hey, we got the same. We both did well.
We got the same.
And you were so angry that we got the same.
I was angry because I feel like... I mean, in retrospect, I shouldn't have been angry, but I do feel like I composed an entire song, played an instrument. You did some sort of genre, kind of whatever, your heavy metal business, etc. And I think I would still say that I think, in my opinion, mine was, it didn't deserve to be equal.
So here's what I like about that sentence, is you started it by saying, in retrospect, I shouldn't have been angry. And then you went on to say that you still feel exactly the same way.
I mean, I can't lie. There's no smell as sweeter as my little chickatita. I'm hoping that it's okay if I order a bouquet. I think as you started talking about like, you know, you think you did well in a task and then you realized you didn't. What I had more with that was prize tasks. And I think I threw hissy fits. I threw massive hissy fits with prize tasks because...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, you did as well, but not as much as me. And Yeah, and I think that's where I let myself down ultimately in the entire competition.
Your prize tasks, yeah. Quite often, you'd start big with them. You'd be like, I've got this. Mm-hmm. But you could hear that tremor in your voice where we knew you weren't behind it. So you'd be like, I've got this, guys. And then halfway through explaining it, you'd get halfway through a sentence and Greg would be staring at you and you'd just go, blah, I don't know, and put your head in your hands.
Oh my gosh. Because Greg... I mean, when I look, I'm not going to try and the whole point is to try and justify something to Greg. And when he's looking at you with those little cards in his hand, with his, you know, sitting low in that frickin' throne, looking all stroppy, it is literally like trying to impress a little king or something.
Yeah.
Like a petulant king. And so I think I always lose confidence because I don't know. I mean, some of my prize tasks were quite bad. But I think the codex, I was like, look, man, if you don't think that's an exciting thing to find in the middle of a field, then we will never the twain shall meet. We will never see. Our opinions are fundamentally different.
Yeah. Now, normally at this point, I would say, what were your highlights? What were your lowlights? But because you're you, we've naturally slipped into a conversation about lowlights. Did you have any highlights for us?
I had so many highlights. I mean... Oh, the entire thing was a highlight, really. I think, do you mean like in tasks in general?
Yeah, sure. Like a task where you thought, I've absolutely nailed that. It's gone down as well as I'd hoped. Well done, Rose.
Yeah. I think that so my song task, my theme tune task was my favorite, but it was also the one that caused me most amount of mental decay because ever since I did it, from the moment I recorded, I laid down that track when we filmed that, I started getting, and I almost think it is, and I'm probably misdiagnosing myself, but it is a form of compulsive, like OCD, that I couldn't get that song out of my head for, I guess, like all of the months in between we do the task and the live shows, to the extent where I couldn't, like, I would go to sleep and it would be in my mind. Having that song go through your mind constantly is hell. So sorry, that highlight turned into a low light, classic. But it was a highlight because once I saw it, it was like a weight had been lifted off me. That I was like, it's out there now. I can be rid of this demon. But
it belongs to the public now.
It belongs to the public now. It's yeah. So that was certainly a highlight. But I think Rubber Egg Gate was just a highlight, personal highlight for me. It was like a Shakespearean tragedy. And it just had all the highs and lows. It was almost like it was written, you know? Like,
yeah.
For me to throw that pool noodle that close to the line, then for, like, David Baddiel to somehow... That rubber egg going back and forth. Like, the entire thing felt like it was scripted perfectly.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So that was a true highlight.
So let's kick off with the prize task. Like you say, never really your favourite category. Shout out for some of my favourites of your prize tasks. Fish poster, obviously.
Fish poster was great. And
how do you feel that it's one of your sort of the lasting things that people talk about is just the way you pronounce fish because you're from another country?
Oh, it's more shed.
Oh, it's shed
like
as well,
the
yeah.
amount of shed things I have. It's all people say to me, shed. Oh, is it in the shed? Like, and what's so amazing about that moment in television is that there is no, like, you know, usually we'll know where something like banter is going to go. Like you know what's going to happen. That is just a pure example of me truly not knowing why Greg was looking at me like I was an alien. Like I just, when I was saying shed, there was nothing about me that thought that was funny.
No, because and fair enough, Rose. Absolute kudos to you because that's just the way you say shit.
It's just the way I say shit, and
but it is funny.
Oh God, it is funny. And look, it's taken me years to admit it, but sure, it is funny. I have got a funny accent. I'm from a funny place. But no, I enjoyed the fish poster. I mean, I tried relatively hard on the price test, but not as hard as I could have. But fish poster, you got so angry at me, the idea that there were New Zealand fish, because you think that you thought that fish could just swim anywhere. Do you know how long it would take for
you can't nationalize fish.
You absolutely can.
So many fish, so little points.
So the prize test this week was best thing that is bigger at the top than it is at the bottom.
Yes.
I love any prize task where it's very clear that Alex is starting to run out of basic things to ask them to bring in and is just walking around his house looking at things, trying to work out what category he can put them in.
I mean, kudos to him. He still delivers. He still constantly delivers on it. I want to say just early props for Captain Budwash.
Now, let's get into this now. Captain Budwash was the best prize that Daisy's brought in, which is not hard because she's, you know, as a group, this lot have been terrible at prize tasks. Captain Budwash is so lazy, it's almost inventive. And I loved Captain Budwash. I loved his tiny little face. I loved his big pirate hat. I think he was absolutely robbed. I want justice for Captain Budwash. That should have been 5 points.
I think so too. I 100% agree. Yeah. Justice for Captain Budwash. Because it fulfilled everything about the task. It had a personality.
Yeah.
It had a concept. It had at least something to say. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was... She went a step further, like to name it, to like
totally.
I think it's really inventive to just invent something, to almost ignore the task. And she could have created anything incredible that was wider at the top than the bottom. The fact that she went with Captain Budwash, which I believe is such a kind of concept already that I would not hesitate to say that it was something that Daisy had already had.
Yeah.
So probably in a folder somewhere. You know, like in a note on her phone being like,
yeah,
well, that's going to... I'm going to need that at some point. I loved Captain Budwash. I want to say... I mean, they all looked quite weary when they were like putting their prize stars in. They didn't... And I think... You know, we would go hard on trying to sell our prize tasks quite well. And I honestly think that this lot could pay to do that a bit more.
Definitely.
I do love Johnny. I do love Johnny saying, it's with this one, a toilet. Being like, it's a big part of all our lives. It's just the sweetest thing ever.
The whole, I think Johnny deserved one more point. Johnny got 3 points for bringing in a toilet. I think he deserved one more point for the story about his dad using a Victorian toilet saying that would shift a bike.
I think so.
Because that's a phrase I'm going to use from now on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Cornetto was just a fucking disaster, and Richard Herring deserved everything he got.
Agreed.
With that. But then part of me, Acorn was... It was interesting.
But that was where Greg was really relaxed. I think it took everyone
relaxed.
By surprise that he gave that 4 points because
it
may be bigger at the bottom than it is at the top, but it's an acorn, and I got the sort of the beauty of nature and what Catherine was trying to bring to it. It was a very Catherine prize task. Mm. It was very innocent.
And
she was really trying her hardest. I think any other week, any other series, that would have got 2 points.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if either of us brought in an acorn for our prize task in our series? We would have been shot. Like, we would have been marched off the set.
Yeah.
It'd have been ridiculous. Oh, I enjoyed Moan's one. I think it was really good, inventive, and...
Yeah, it was, but I also think it's the sort of thing that smacks of he'd planned to bring that in at some point and he just needed to find the right category.
Anyway. It's true, but I think Greg appreciated it because he's he's a slave to the stage, you know. He loves a bit of stand-up, and it reminded him of his former life, and he went, those good old days where I tread the boards with a trusty old microphone.
Having supported Greg Davis on two national tours, I'm just here to say he has never said, oh, I love treading the boards, I love stand-up, I can't wait to do this
job. Oh my God, what a man.
Let's get on to the first task proper, which is, I mean, it's a fairly pithy task. Get to the finish line clutching chicken number two. Chicken number one must pass the start line aboard the remote control car. You must stay on the office chair at all times. If you touch the mini robots, you are disqualified.
I mean, Alex, what's going on, man? What's going on at home? I would have hated this task, I think. I would have truly hated this task.
Even trying to read it, I was a bit I was a bit confused by what you're actually supposed to do. They picked up fairly quickly. I mean, let's start with Mawan. It was so fast. Mm-hmm. It was almost like they'd use graphics. It was like they'd faked it and see with CGI because it was so perfect. The fact Alex mentioned this, they move off at the same speed. He does it without even thinking about it. He's like, all right, yeah, of course. Well, this is how we do it. It was actually sexy. Mm-hmm. He did it so easily and so quickly. I was like, Jesus Christ, that gives me a tingle.
It was Fast and the Furious vibes. It was it was the confidence. I think, you know what, honestly, a lot of it was to do with, having that confidence to read that wordy task, throw yourself into it with total confidence that you're not going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then nailing it. But I think that's Moan's... it's his strength and his weakness, because, you know, if it pays off, that's what happens with this kind of task where you go, oh yeah, I can do this. And then in other tasks, I think it's like the confidence. He doesn't think about the technicalities or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, but in this one, it was sexy. It was cool. It should be gift.
Yeah.
And we stand on and a chicken on a robot.
That's the first time anything's been stamped on the Taskmaster podcast, so well done.
I ship it, man. I ship it.
But you're right. It did remind me of the final task of our series, because he did it so confidently. I was assuming they'd have to go back to it and say, here's what you did wrong. But they didn't. It was just perfect.
Yeah, they didn't.
Richard and Johnny, like two old men who've never been on a wheelie chair before.
It was wild. Johnny was
all over the place. At one point, Johnny told the remote control car to be quicker, as if he wasn't in control of it.
Oh, it's so sweet, though. It's just so sweet to see these men trying. sort of ghost of Christmas future. It's a dark one. I think they ended up doing it. Honestly, I think I would have done similarly to those two. It's really sweet when two people are neck and neck in times for doing shit, like to be being equally shit at something. That's actually that the jeopardy of that is actually more exciting sometimes than when people are neck and neck at the top.
You naturally root for the underdog, right? And so when there's a competition to be the most under of the dogs,
it's really tough for the show like Taskmaster to root for the underdog. It really is.
Tell me if you think, would this annoy you, or would anyone be able to get away with it? When it says that chicken number one must pass the start line aboard the remote control car and get to the finish line clutching chicken number two, do you think with chicken number one you could reverse it over the start line, then do it back again right at the beginning, and that counts as it passing over the start line?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I thought someone would try and do a sneaky one like that. I mean... but that's a risk as well. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it can pay off and sometimes it can't. So I think it's kind of, I don't think I would have tried anything tricky like that. I think you would have definitely.
I think if it was the first day, so on the first day of our series when I was filming tasks, I tried as many tricky things as possible. And I think maybe only one of them made it in. It was the, when you had to throw something into the bin and I kicked the bottom out of the bin to claim that the lid was shut. And I caught Greg on a good day. If you catch him on a good day, he'll let you get away with that sort of stuff. If he's in a mood with you, absolutely not.
Fuck. It's wild. Well, it's so funny. Also, like, I tried to do... Because I never, like, tried to do tricky things because I was scared that I would be told off, which is, like, an attitude I take through every aspect of my life. And so, but I think the one time I tried to do a tricky thing was the lasso thing. Fucking want to get into that. But, you know, where you'd move the line further forward.
Yes.
But, yeah, like, the stupidity of the fact that I didn't even move it. Like, I still tried to make it slightly hard for myself. So I would move it just a little bit and then throw it. And I did, tried it about four times. And I was like, looking back at that, I was like, what are you doing? Like,
such a head girl.
Never be able to. I know. But I mean, to be honest, with the task like that, I couldn't really, I barely understood it. So it's like, just follow it to the letter.
Yeah. And not, I think I would have done the same.
Utterly wild for Catherine to throw the task in the bin. Like, what the hell? And like, I mean, adjust the confidence. Like, it's such, also such a specific task as well. Yeah. Like, you want to read that task again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And be sure you're doing it right. and the fact that she, did she mess it up in two ways in terms of she got hit by the robot. And
yeah,
also,
she got hit by the robot, but she threw the task in the bin. Yeah. And then,
yeah.
And then of course she had to get the task out of the bin to read it again. But she just, it's such a perfect way of messing it up. Like, she seems to attract disaster a lot of the time, Catherine. She just finds the totally. One way you can truly mess up a task and does that straight away.
It's a talent. It's a talent, if anything. It's kind of cosmic. Yeah. And then it's upsetting that Daisy May and Catherine did so poorly on this one.
Both disqualified. And then, of course, Mwan got the full 5 points because he was the quickest. Johnny got 4 points. And then Richard got 3. And then, obviously, no points for Catherine or Daisy. Good episode for Mwan so far.
Really good.
And now it's time to hear from our BFF bonus fact finder, Alex Horn.
Oh, hello there. It's Alex Horn here, your BFF bonus fact finder, recording this in the Taskmaster caravan. I can prove that with a couple of sound effects. This is the noise of the curtain twitching. And this is the noise of the oven door shutting. Okay. A real treat for the ears there. Today's bonus fact is all about the location of the little robot task, where the contestants had to sit on an office chair and guide robots around without hitting smaller robots. A lot of fun. And that task location has made it to number one in my coldest locations chart over the 10 series of Taskmaster. The top five goes like this. At number five, it's the Scout Hut, used in Series 6 for things like making a parachute. At number 4, it's Chesham Football Ground from Series 4, where the likes of Hugh and Noel scored goals with plastic bags. At number 3, it's the horse riding place, where we made them ride a horse and paint a horse. It was snowing when Ramesh did it. At number 2, it's the Buckinghamshire Railway Museum from Series 8. A lot of people's favourite task was when they had to hide from me and I had to bob up and down with a torch on my head. Of course, the coldest was Printworks, where we filmed the little robot task. The hottest, in case you're wondering, was Frensham Ponds, where Aisling Bea took her trousers off, where Nish Kumar threw things into things, and where Bob Mortimer made a urine-based graph. Thanks, everyone. See you next week. Okay.
Task 2. It's a team task. Tell your teammates what is in the safe. You may speak into this microphone and they will hear your message played backwards. You only have 10 minutes to open the safe and record your message. Most accurate description wins. Now, let's get straight into this. I know for a fact that Richard Herring is genuinely upset by how badly he did at this.
Really?
To the extent I don't think he's... I got the scoop. I was speaking to him the other day. He is like, I don't know if he'll ever admit it publicly, so I'm going to do it for him. He's genuinely devastated about this. He can't believe he did it so badly.
Oh, my God.
In the same way, I think he's upset about the live tasks that involved words as well that he didn't win. I think he prides himself on his use of language. He's an Oxford graduate. And when something goes wrong...
Wordsmith.
Yeah, exactly. He's famously a wordsmith. And when he records such a bad backwards message that it causes Daisy Cooper to scream milkies over and over again.
I think everyone has that one, right? Where it's you think that you should be good at something and you're not. So you'll never get over that. I think Richard will never get over that. But I think that's the beauty of the competition, you know? There is a message advantage for having two people trying to decode a message than just one person. Because you've got someone, a sounding board, you know?
Yeah, there definitely is. And I think Greg would have taken that into account if they'd done anything of worth, the team of two. Yeah. If they'd shown a glimmer of competence in this task, he would have said, well, there's only two of you, so I'll give you 1 point, I'll give you 2 points. But yeah. it was nonsense. The stuff Richard was doing it by letters is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild.
And then milkies. And just getting stuck on a milkies loop. It was insane. Yeah.
I think we knew how this task was going to go in the sense that what the context you're providing about Richard, you know, being a wordsmith and you know, really, really trying to kind of overcomplicate this task. And in the fact that when Daisy approached the task with confidence because she listens to ghost recordings, I think that is just the example of, you know, two people on different wavelengths, man. Yeah. And I do not think they will ever come together and create something truly cohesive. Because, I mean, that was the funny. I was just like, what's funny to me is I was like, that shows how mad I am in the sense that I was like, oh, yeah, of course, ghost recording. So I was like totally on her level there. I was like, well, yeah, and no, I know what you mean there.
The relationship is becoming increasingly strained. And I think Daisy again looked genuinely angry after they showed that task. Her impression of trying to order in a restaurant abroad by just saying milkies. There was anger in her eyes.
It was utter anger.
I thought the other team did really well, but I especially think Mawan did really well because I think he gave them every component and it was there and they said it out loud, but they just chose to not go with all of it. He gave them Greg, he gave them Lamb, he gave them Cushion, but they didn't go with all of those elements, which is why I was surprised that they all got 3 points. I felt like Mawan should have got 4 points for doing the description and having it all there for them, and the others should have got three, but that's just me.
Well, that's pretty unorthodox though, right? That wouldn't have...
Yeah.
That's a pretty wild... That would have created chaos. If our team task, if one of us had got one more point than the others, that would have been horrific. And that would have been the end of our friendship.
I think I should have got one more point in the Buckaroo team task for playing a wonderful donkey.
Well, look, but that's just out of pity. It's a pity point out of humiliation because, you know, you can't undo that. You will take, and that's the thing is that we know you will take it. At the end of the day, it will take a pity point. So, I think that they, I mean, I honestly wish that it was a lamb kebab, just because it sounded like Johnny was just really excited about there being a lamb kebab in the safe.
Yeah.
But ultimately they did very well. And I think they're a good team and I think they're a gentle team and I think it's quite sweet. I love Johnny and Catherine's dynamic. Very chill.
Yeah. I think what we're finding out, interestingly, this series is Johnny is probably more chill than people were expecting him to be on this series of Taskmaster. He's chaotic and very Johnny Vegas, but I don't worry for his safety a lot of the time, apart from when he fell off a ladder in an earlier episode.
He's chaotic good. The funniest thing, the thing that I howled with laughter at this episode, was Greg describing Johnny as looking like someone who this had to go well for him.
Yeah.
Like, that was the best thing ever. This is just so... Like, that's the most horrible thing you could say about someone. This has to go well for him. Because if not, we don't know what will happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, props to them for
yeah, I think they did team. They did
and honestly,
well.
I think I would have really... I would have struggled to do things backwards because I actually don't really understand how that almost works. Like, how a word sounds backwards. I know how it's spelt backwards.
Mwan, I think, got the right idea in doing it word by word and really thinking through the syllables. And it came out sounding all right. So maybe 4 points for all of them I would have given. But they went with three. And then 0 points for Daisy and Richard, as they deserved.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Ho. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Oh! Task three, make the longest marble run, aka a task you would have absolutely loved.
I would have loved this. But, okay, so there's so much to say about this one. I think this is a really exciting one for me because I think it highlighted some people's strengths and some people's weaknesses, right? So I think I'm sounding like an absolute nerd here. I'll go with strengths first. Daisy, I was really impressed with Daisy's and I liked her confidence in it because Daisy got, Daisy was second, right? She got 4 points for that.
Yes.
With 10 seconds. And that's, I think it was just so impressive and it was so competently put together. So I really enjoyed that. I thought Johnny, oh my God, sweet Johnny. This marble will power an house for 2 minutes. Who needs wind? It was, it got me, like him yelling that got me excited.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That is, it was just the sweetest thing I've ever seen. And for it to not go the way he wanted to, it was quite heartbreaking. Richard, like, so what the fuck was he thinking? What the actual fuck was he thinking? A massive, like, crack in the concrete. Like, surely that's the thing you smooth up. Like, come on, man.
And also
come
he said when it got stuck in there, he went, oh, I knew it was going to get stuck in there. It's like, well, just put a bit of cardboard over it or something.
Because I would have gone with a similar instinct of going outside because you got more space.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else went inside.
No, I agree. I probably would have gone outside. I probably would have tried to start something from the top of the caravan or the top of the house and just to get a really big slope on it to try and make it roll all the way down the garden or whatever. But I was so happy for Catherine that she nailed this because she's not done amazingly. She's been brilliant. I mean, I absolutely love her as a contestant, but she's had some big failures and this was such a sweet victory for her. Her marble run was genuinely beautiful. Mm. Like, it's quite peaceful.
I could
watch that as I go to sleep. Just my highlight of this particular episode, I think, is Daisy finally proving that has the spirit of a four-year-old child because there's a shot of her running up to the French windows and then saying, where can I start my marble run? And it is the most childish thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's the sweetest thing. I know, I love her energy. What I wanted to say about this before we did move on is that line in the live element, when they're talking about the task afterwards and stuff, and them hitting up Mwan for technically his not being right.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny because had that happened in our series, we would have been literally screaming at each other. Like, we would have been screaming. Like, it just shows, like, every cast is different. But, like, they were so composed about it. And I would have, like, you would have yelled at me and I would have been screaming back and it would have been utter chaos. And I think it just entertains me to think that they dealt with it with such composure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, but no, well done. Well done. This was a great task. I really enjoyed
it. It was a really good task.
Yeah.
It was. Let's, of course, Catherine won there 32.4 seconds, way ahead of Daisy with 10 seconds. Got 4 points. 8 seconds, 23 for old silly Richard. and 8 seconds 10 for enthusiastic Johnny. It didn't power the house for 2 minutes. It didn't even get 3 points. And Mwan disqualified 0 points, which I think I was devastated to see it because it was an inventive way of doing things, but I think it was a correct disqualification.
Agreed, agreed. Fair, but harsh, but fair.
Let's discuss the studio task briefly. We've talked about studio tasks on our series already. I mean, this is just insane now. It feels like they've had a full breakdown at this point. Communicate to the taskmaster the item on your card. You may only make noise. You may not use any actions or words.
It was, I think it was one of the most entertaining live tasks I've seen. Mm. That it was genuinely, the competition was fear. Holding umbrellas, that was really strange. But I thought they were gonna put them up, to be honest, and hide behind an umbrella. But then I remembered we were working in the medium of television. I think I want so many screenshots from the faces that they made. And out of context, it just seems like the most avant-garde sort of terrifying like art piece. And it was just truly spectacular to watch. And I enjoyed who clearly were like quite like front runners. Like Daisy just nailed it, but Johnny was fantastic as well. But it's just so funny because, I mean, is it because they can read how Greg would interpret it? Because there's so much, like, it's kind of arbitrary, but what Greg will understand, what Greg will like. As we said, he's incredibly unpredictable man. But I think they got to the heart of him, like, and got into his brain quite well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Catherine's dolphin was wild.
I think just to talk on Daisy and Johnny, because they were top two briefly before we move on. Mm. I think neither of them have got, and this is to their credit, have got a filter, or, and this is why they're good. Yeah. I think they are in public how they are behind closed doors. They are basically their animal selves. Definitely. So they can just release that from within them. And there's nothing. Whereas like Catherine, especially, I think, it's quite well put together and it tends to unfurl, but she really tries to hold it together all of the time. Whereas Daisy and Johnny don't care. They just let it rip. And I think that's why it worked here.
Yeah. I think there is, with Johnny and Daisy, it's like there's no ego. They are the purest form of what they are. And these others are trying, they're kind of being held back by that.
Yeah, but totally. No,
it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I enjoyed it. I love a compilation CD of all of those sounds.
Donkey. Mule. I haven't got a fucking clue.
Final episode scores. It's a loss for Richard. I'm not sure he's come bottom so far. Daisy on 11 points. Again, she's normally up there. Catherine with 13. And it's a draw between Johnny and Mawan, meaning it's tiebreak time. Mm-hmm. Now, we only had, I believe, one tiebreak on our series, Rose. On the last episode. The series really ended with a lovely damp squib. I think I've said this on the podcast before. What I absolutely love about this is I won that tiebreak. It was make the toy stay down, the pop-up toy stay down the longest, mm-hmm. with, you choose a condiment and you've got to stick it down. And I won that. And then I think the next day, so we had the wrap party, and then the next day you texted me going, I asked the producers and you won all the tie breaks out of me and you. So you would have won that anyway. And I just love the idea of you cornering the Andes at the wrap party, how did you pick that tiebreak then? Because I won one of the tiebreaks.
I did. Okay, this is bullshit, and I'm going to look at the text. I would have said Andy told me. I did not ask. I'm going to find the text. Andy told me at the wrap that I didn't win any of the tiebreaks, and I was like, oh, you know, that's a bummer. But I mean,
that conversation has never happened where someone said you didn't win something and then you've gone, oh, that's a bummer. Anyway, life's short, isn't it? Life's short. Just relax. Let's have a drink.
No, okay, Ed, honestly, honest to God, it broke my heart not to win the series. It utterly broke my heart. But there was a moment in the last episode, and I think it was a real step up and a level up in maturity for myself and my own personal development and growth, in that quite genuinely I was like, there is no one I would have rather have lost to than you. And if I had have lost to anyone else, it would have been, I would have not dealt with that at all well. But knowing it was you, there was part of me that went, I can live with that. And all it's created is that the fact that I came second, I'm the people's princess, and I'm the underdog. So so in the eyes of the public, I'm golden. So apologies, you're just, you know, you got the pride, you got Greg's head and your living room. Yeah, well done. You know, I've actually got other things. I've got lots of other things, you know, to put up in my room. So I'm not bitter about it at all. So that's just, and the people listening know I'm not bitter about it at all. Okay.
Well, all right. Thank you so much to the people's princess.
Self-claimed people's princess.
Yeah. Self-appointed people's princess.
Oh my God.
In the series is close. I mean, our series was pretty close all the way to the end, but Daisy's in the lead with 116, mm-hmm. Closely followed by Johnny on 109. Mawan and Richard now in neck and neck on 106 points, and Catherine lagging behind on 90. Do you have any predictions? This is obviously episode 7, so we've only got 3 episodes left. Who do you think is going to pull out in front?
I think Daisy... I think Daisy and Mawan, my gut says Mawan, because I think he is truly talented, and I think things are either going to pay off for him massively or bite him in the ass. But the thing is, I don't have any predictions because prize tasks can dictate this competition so much. Oh my God, I'm speaking about this like I'm an ESPN. Did you just hear me? Really just dictate this competition. And, you know, you never can know. So I have truly no predictions. I think it's, and it's good to not have any predictions because, you know, you don't want your heart to be broken. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm rooting for all of them. I actually genuinely, and that's a really lovely thing about this cast, is that I am rooting for all of them. And if any of them won, I'd be thrilled. So I don't know if you are the same. But do you have any predictions now at this point?
I mean, it is so close. I mean, Daisy's doing very well, and she's kind of consistently done well, although a little bit of a drop off in form from both her and Richard this week, who are both doing consistently well. So, I mean, as I think Jess Nappet said last week, it's anyone's game but Catherine's, which it feels harsh but true, harsh but fair.
Harsh but true. You got.
I mean, but I'd look. I would love a Catherine comeback and a victory. I think that would be the greatest story Taskmaster's ever told. I would absolutely love that because 100%. I think she's great. So you know, fingers crossed. All right, I'm just going to predict Catherine. There you go. So we've got some emails, Rose, from listeners.
Mm-hmm.
How much did being a New Zealander hinder your taskmasterness? I was disappointed in the reception the fish poster got. It was the perfect prize. Cheers, Scott. And I'm imagining that is Scott from New Zealand. I'm just going to say that.
Scott from New Zealand. Yeah, I know him well. how it helped or hindered? Well, I think it helped in that I think, you know, sometimes people find New Zealanders charming, because we're all quite sweet and adorable, and we've got really cute accents and all that. So that kind of possibly, that charm potentially helped with Greg at some points. I think it hindered, and I think there are huge ways it hindered, in the sense that we do not have the fucking empirical system or whatever. What is it called? Imperial? I don't know. We talk in centimeters and meters, okay? Not inches and fucking yards and stone or some ancient bullshit like that, okay? So that hindered me a lot when things would be described in inches, because I just truly don't know how much an inch is. And obviously that was that was what killed me in that last task in an episode.
It kind of was, but you didn't use all the bricks. That it would have been the perfect height if you just used all the bricks, I think.
What was I thinking? I don't know if I found all the bricks. I don't want to talk about it. But yeah, no, so I think it hindered me. Well, yeah, I mean, I think also my Kiwi enthusiasm for things could hinder me a lot in that Greg didn't like that as well, me being enthusiastic about life and joy, you know.
But I think that's, I don't think that's to do with nationality more than it is to do with the youth. I think he takes against the young people yeah. quite a lot.
That's true. That's true. But no, I think ultimately it didn't hinder me too much. But I do think the fish poster 100% didn't get enough credit as an iconic thing that belongs in a shed. And so many New Zealanders who watched this show hit me up being like, you were robbed. You were robbed for that. You do not understand the ways. Our way of life. So
well, I don't know if you've seen any of the recently broadcast New Zealand series of Taskmaster, but every prize task, everyone brings in a fish poster every episode.
Yeah, it's I started a trend. Yeah.
Okay. We had lots of questions asking if you would go on the New Zealand Taskmaster, and whether doing the British one would help you on the New Zealand one.
I think it would give me a bit more confidence, but no, I don't think, I think I would do incredibly, like it's very similar. I think it would be fun because I know every single person on that show. Apart
you know every single
Jeremy's
person in the country.
Taskmaster. Basically, yeah. I mean, all of those people I'm very close friends with, really, and especially Paul. I think it would be very fun to have Paul Williams as my taskmaster. I think yeah, it'd be very cute. But no, I think it'd be great. I mean, I would love to have a second chance.
Yeah.
At doing something. But then also, you know what it would feel like though? You know when you're and you go back to your old school, like just a couple of years after you graduated, and you kind of come and you like see an old teacher and you're like, "Hey, yeah, cool." And you just feel odd and you feel quite old and you're like, people have moved on. This is not my space anymore. So
yeah,
I think that would be that.
I agree. You'd still do it though. So
oh, cool. Completely. It's cut to me doing it in 2 years.
We've had an email from Portugal from Claudia Silva. Hello everyone at Taskmaster Pod. Rose and Ed, did your friendship ever recover after that fierce series, or are you even more competitive now? I think, if I may, I think we're just as competitive, but yeah. I don't think it's ramped up, and I don't think it's wound down.
I agree. I don't think it's settled any. It's certainly not progressed our friendship in that regard. Like I think it's progressed our friendship just being friends for a long amount of time. But I think it hasn't changed the way we approach escape rooms. It hasn't changed the way we approach board games, which we both really enjoy partaking in. I think, yeah, it's changed nothing, I think. I think it's just, all it has done is formed a deeper understanding and perhaps respect for the other person's competitiveness. And also, I think we've done so many escape rooms together over the course of like a few years, right? And I think I understand you a lot better as a person, and especially a person in an escape room now, with the shared experience that we've had. And I think we know that we can rely on each other in an escape room. And there are some people, you know, there are members that kind of come and go, you know, in the ones that we've done in the past, in the many countries we've done, but the core group does often remain the same.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think it has not yet broken up that friendship, and I hope it doesn't, because I have really few other friends who like to do escape rooms with me, and I really need it in my life.
I think when we're on a team together, I think our competitive nature is to our credit.
100%. That's why we play co-op games instead of...
Yeah. If we're against each other, our competitiveness doesn't ruin the game for us, but it ruins it for everyone else playing.
It's so true, but who cares?
Rose, thank you so much for coming on the Taskmaster podcast. I feel like we've buried the hatchet. We've mended some old wounds. There is still the festering wound of the self-serenade, which I don't believe will ever be sutured. But we're just going to have to leave that where it is.
We'll leave that. One day. I'll redeem myself. I'll get my revenge one day. And good luck to all of these competitors this year.
And how would you rate your experience on the Taskmaster podcast from 1 to 5 points, please?
4 points.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that.
Why?
Why would you not give it 5 points?
Because there was some... We haven't completely buried the hatchet.
Okay.
There was a bit of animosity between, like, that we brought up some other tasks. Like, it's brought up tasks now that I'm thinking about of how I messed them up.
Yeah.
And I'm not leaving in an emotionally a great place, but I enjoyed the experience, and that's probably that's exactly how I approached Taskmaster, you know?
Yeah.
Emotionally, not well, but look back on the experience fondly.
Well, I suppose at least 4 points is the second highest you can get, which is it's very you. So thank you, Rose. Thank you for coming on the Taskmaster podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, there we go. Another wonderful episode of the TM Pod, a.k.a. Taskmaster podcast, with the brilliant Rose Matafeo. Lovely to catch up with her. Lovely to have a chat. And next week, another exciting special guest for you to send your questions to. How do you send your questions in? You send them to taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. That's how you do it. Any question you have for me and my special guest next week, remember taskmasterstore.com for all your Christmas prezi goodies. Taskmaster on YouTube is youtube.com/taskmaster. And also remember to watch the show Thursdays at 9 p.m. or, if you don't want front bums, 6 p.m. E4 Sundays. Just leaves me to reveal that my special guest next week will be Richard Osman. That's right, it is Richard Osman from one of the earlier series of Taskmaster. So that will be very exciting to chat to him about how the show's come on, how he feels being a forefather of the format, and also probably... I've interviewed Richard for podcasts before. I'd imagine he'll pick apart the format of this podcast as well. So we're very much looking forward to that. If you have any questions for Richard about his series, about Taskmaster in general, do get in contact, taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. But for now, it is goodbye, and we will see you next week.
Country boy called Alex Horn. He had a heart of gold and a brain full of corn. He made a task sunrise to set to test the cows and the chickens and their intellect. Till one day he went to the big city, met a tall old man named Greg Davies. He said, I'm gonna put you on the TV. Success will be ours, there are a guarantee. We'll get 5 guys and girls to play your game who will all be of varying levels of fame. Alex shook his hand and the deal was done. Yeehaw, Greg, now we're gonna have some fun. So that's the story, truth be told, how little Alex Horn little soul was sold. That's the tale told by me of how